The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Prepared for radio in 13 episodes by Brian Sibley. With Ian Holm, Michael Horden, Robert Stevens, and John LeMessurier. Episode 4, adapted by Michael Bakewell. The Ring Goes South.
I, Frodo, son of Drogo, will take the ring, though I do not know the way.
If I understand aright all that I have heard, I think that the task is appointed for you, Frodo, and that if you do not find a way, no one will. This is the hour of the Shire folk, when they arise from their quiet fields to shake the towers and councils of the great. But it is a heavy burden, so heavy that none could lay it on another. I do not lay it on you, but if you take it freely, I will say that your choice is right.
But you won't send them off alone, surely, Master Elrond.
No, indeed, Sam Gamgee. You at least shall go with him. It is hardly possible to separate you from him, even when he is summoned to a secret council, and you are not.
It's a nice pickle we've landed ourselves in, Mr. Frodo.
The hobbits were nearly 2 months in the House of Elrond. Health and hope grew strong in them, and they were content with each new day as it came. Autumn waned. A wind began to blow chill from the misty mountains to the east. The hunter's moon waxed round in the sky and put to flight all the lesser stars. But low in the south, one star shone red. Every night it shone, brighter and brighter. Frodo could see it from his window, deep in the heavens, burning like a watchful eye. December was passing when Elrond summoned the hobbits to him.
The time has come. Our scouts have returned. It would seem that the ringwraiths are scattered and have gone empty and shapeless back to the Dark Lord. Who knows how long it will be before they find new steeds? If the ring is to set out, it must go soon. But those who go with it must not count on their errand being aided by war or force. They must pass into the domain of the enemy far from aid. Do you still hold to your word, Frodo, that you will be the ring-bearer?
I do. And Sam Gamgee will go with me.
I cannot help you much, not even with counsel. I can foresee very little of your road, and how the task is to be achieved, I do not know. But I will choose your companions to go with you, as far as they will or fortune allows. The number must be few, since your hope is in speed and secrecy. The company of the ring shall be 9, and the 9 walkers shall be set against the 9 riders that are evil. With you and your faithful servant, Gandalf will go. For this shall be his great task, and maybe the end of his labors. For the rest, they shall represent the other free peoples of the world, elves, dwarves, and men. Legolas shall be for the elves, and Gimli, son of Glóin, for the dwarves. They are willing to go at least to the passes of the mountains, and perhaps beyond. For men, you shall have Aragorn, son of Arathorn, for the ring of Isildur concerns him closely.
Strider.
Yes, I ask leave once again to be your companion, Frodo.
I would have begged you to come, Annie. I thought you were going to Minas Tirith with Boromir.
I am, but your road and our road lie together for many hundreds of miles. Therefore, Boromir will also be one of the company. He is a valiant man.
There remain 2 more to be found. These I will consider. Of my household, I may find some that it seems good to me to send.
But that will leave no place for Merry and me. We don't want to be left behind. We want to go with Frodo.
That is because you do not understand and cannot imagine what lies ahead.
Neither does Frodo. Nor does any one of us see clearly. I think, Elrond, that in this matter, it would be well to trust rather to their friendship than to great wisdom. Even if you chose for us an elf lord such as Glorfindel, he could not storm the Dark Tower, nor open the road to the fire by the power that is in him.
You speak gravely, but I am in doubt. The Shire is not now free from peril. I had thought to send these 2 back to warn the people of their danger. In any case, I judge that the younger of these two, Peregrine Took, should remain. My heart is against his going.
Then you will have to lock me in prison or send me home tied in a sack. For otherwise, I will follow the company.
Let it be so, then. You shall go. Now the tale of nine is filled. In 7 days, the company must depart.
The sword of Elendil was forged anew by elvish smiths, and on its blade was traced a device of 7 stars set between the crescent moon and the rayed sun, and about them was written many runes. And Aragorn gave it a new name, and called it Andúril, Flame of the West.
Frodo, yes? Your sword was broken at the Ford of Bruinen. I took it to keep it safe, but I forgot to ask if the smiths could mend it. There's no time now. So, I thought perhaps you would care to have this. Now, this is Sting. I got it from the trolls on the way to Smaug's Mountain. Take it if you like. I don't suppose I shall want it again.
Thank you. I will guard it well.
Also, there's this. It is a pretty thing, isn't it? And useful. It's my dwarf mail that Thorin gave me. I brought all the mementos of my journey away with me. But I don't need it now, except to look at sometimes. You hardly feel any weight when you put it on.
Well, I don't think I should look right in it.
That's just what I said myself. But never mind about looks. You can wear it under your outer clothes, but don't tell anybody else. I should feel happier if I knew you were wearing it. I have a fancy it would turn even the knives of the Black Riders.
Very well, I will take it. Bilbo?
Hmm?
I cannot thank you as I should for this and all your past kindnesses.
Oh, don't try. Don't try. I'd hoped you might be able to help me with my book. Have you thought of an ending yet?
Yes, several. And they're all dark and unpleasant.
Well, that won't do at all. Books ought to have good endings. Now, how about this do? And they all settled down and lived together happily ever after.
It will do very well, if it ever comes to that.
Slow should you be to wind that horn again, Boromir, until you stand once more on the borders of your land, and dire need is on you.
Maybe. But always have I let my horn cry at setting forth as a sign to the foes of Gondor, and though thereafter we may walk in shadows, I will not go forth as a thief in the night.
Be that as it may, you should all of you fear the many eyes of the servants of Sauron.
Well counseled, Master Elrond. We will be vigilant.
And have you all you need for your long journey? Food, clothes, and blankets.
More than enough, for dwarves make light of burden. Shirt of steel and a strong axe are all I need.
And how are we to carry it all?
Never you mind that. You didn't think Bill would desert us,
did you? This animal can nearly talk, and he would talk if he stayed here much longer. He gave me a look as plain as you could speak it yourself, Mr. Pippin.
If you don't let me go with you, Sam, I'll follow on my own.
Well, you oughtn't to have took up with us, Bill, my lad. You could have stayed here. Ate the best hay till the new grass grows.
Right, now then, have I forgotten anything? There's cooking gear, salt, pipe weed, flint, tinder,
rope, no rope. And only last night you said to yourself, Sam, what about a bit of rope? You'll want it if you haven't got it.
Well, I'll want it. I can't get it now.
Come, it is time to set forth.
Farewell, and may the blessing of elves and men and all free folk go with you. May the stars shine upon your faces.
They crossed the bridge and wound slowly up the steep paths that led out of the cloven vale of Rivendell. And they came at length to the high moor where the wind hissed through the heather. Then, with one glance at the last homely house twinkling below them, they strode away, far into the night. At first, it seemed to the hobbits that although they walked and stumbled until they were weary, they were creeping forward like snails, getting nowhere. Yet, steadily, the mountains were drawing nearer. They had been a fortnight on the way, when, just as the sun was rising, they reached a low ridge crowned with ancient holly trees.
There are mountains ahead of us. How shall we cross them?
There is the land where the dwarves worked of old. The places there stand tall in our dreams, but I know them and their names. For under them lies Khazad-dûm, the Dwaradelph, that is now called the Black Pit, Moria in the Elvish tongue. Yonder stands the Red Horn, cruel Caradhras.
Cruel or not, we must climb to the Red Horn Gate, under the far side of Caradhras. We shall come then, down by the Dimrill Stair, into the deep vale of the dwarves.
My heart trembles at the thought that I may see it.
May you have joy at the sight, Gimli, but we at least cannot stay in that valley. We must go down the Silver Lode into the secret woods, and so to the great river, and then...
And then?
To the end of the journey. In the end, we cannot look too far ahead. Let us be glad that the first stage is safely over. I think we will rest here, now that the day is breaking, and sleep.
At dusk, the company set out, and turning now half east, they steered their course towards Caradhras, which glowed faintly red in the last light of the vanished sun. By the third morning, they had reached the foot of the mountain, and the weary company lay down to sleep. But Frodo was uneasy and wakeful, and so it was he overheard Gandalf and Aragorn.
Winter deepens behind us. The heights away north are whiter than they were. Tonight we shall be on our way high up towards the Red Horn Gate. We may well be seen by watchers on that narrow path, but the weather may prove a more deadly enemy than any. What do you think?
We must go on. It is no good delaying the passage of the mountains. Further south, there are no passes until one comes to the Gap of Rohan. I do not trust that way since your news of Saruman's desire for the ring. Who knows now which side Théoden and the marshals of the Horse...
Who knows indeed, but there is another way, and not by the pass of Caradhras, the dark and secret way we have spoken
but
of.
But let us not speak of it again, not yet. Say nothing to the others, I beg. Not until it is plain there is no other way.
But to Frodo's relief... When evening came, Gandalf chose the way over the pass. The narrow path wound under a sheer wall of cliffs to the left, above which the grim flanks of Caradhras towered up, invisible in the gloom. On the right was a gulf of darkness, where the land fell suddenly into a deep ravine. Snow began to fall, filling all the air and swirling into their eyes.
I don't like this at all. Snow's all right in a fine morning, but I like to be in bed while it's falling. I wish this lot would go up to Hobbiton. Folk might welcome it there.
This is what I feared. What do you say now, Aragorn?
That I feared it too, but less than other things. I knew the risk of snow, though it seldom falls heavily so far south, save high up in the mountains. But we are not high yet. We are still far down, where the paths are usually open all the winter.
I wonder if this is a contrivance of the enemy. They say in my land that he can govern the storms in the mountains of Shadow that stand upon the borders of Mordor. He has strange powers and many allies.
His arm is grown long indeed if he can draw snow down from the north to trouble us here, 300 leagues away.
His arm has grown long.
They tramped on again. But they had not gone more than a furlong when the storm returned with fresh fury. The wind whistled, and the snow became a blinding blizzard.
Do you hear the voices? They're mocking us.
It is but the wind.
There are fell voices on the air. And those stones are aimed at us. It is the enemy.
It is the mountain itself. Caradhras was called the Cruel and had an ill name long years ago when the name of Sauron had not been heard of.
It doesn't matter who it is. It's attacking us. What can we do?
Either stop where we are or go back. It's no good going on. We should have no shelter up there from snow, stones, or anything else.
It is no good going back while the storm holds. We pass no place on the way up that offered more shelter than this cliff wall we are under now.
Shelter?
desperate. This is shelter, then one wall and no roof make a house.
The company gathered together as close to the cliff as they could. All night long, eddying blasts swirled round them from every side, and the snow flowed down in ever denser clouds. Towards dawn, the wind began to fall, and the snow stopped. As the light grew stronger, it showed a silent, shrouded world. Below their refuge were white humps and domes and shapeless deeps, beneath which the path that they had trodden was altogether lost. But the heights above were hidden in great clouds, still heavy with the threat of snow.
Caradhras has not forgiven us. He has more snow yet to fling at us if we go on. The sooner we go back and down, the better.
But that is easier said than done. I see no way. How can we go back?
If Gandalf will go before with a bright flame, he might melt a path for you.
If elves could fly over mountains, they might fetch the sun to save us. But I must have something to work on. I cannot burn snow.
Well, when heads are at a loss, bodies must serve. The strongest of us must seek a way. Though all is deep in snow, our path as we came up turned about to that shoulder of rock down there. If we can reach that point, it would prove easier beyond.
Come then, let us forth the path thither, you and I.
Slowly, they moved off, and were soon toiling heavily. In places the snow was breast high, and often Boromir seemed to be swimming or burrowing with his great arms rather than walking. At length, they drove a passage through the great drifts, and with the hobbits clinging to their backs, they reached the foot of the mountain.
Enough! Enough, Caradhras! We are departing as quickly as we may. The mountain has defeated us.
We cannot go on tonight. Our attempt on the Redhorn Gate has tired us out. We must rest for a while.
And then where are we to go?
We still have our journey and our errand before us. We have no choice but to go on, or to return to Rivendell.
Then we must go on. If there is a way...
There is a way. We may attempt, but it is not a pleasant way.
If it is a worse road than the Redhorn Gate, then it must be evil indeed. But you had better tell us about it and let us know the worst at once.
The road I speak of leads to the mines of Moria.
Moria?
The road may lead to Moria, but how can we hope that it will lead through Moria?
It's a name of ill omen. Nor do I see the need to go there. To enter Moria would be to walk into a trap, hardly better than knocking at the gates of the Dark Tower itself.
I would not lead you into Moria if there were no hope of coming out again. If there are orcs there, it may prove worse for us, it is true. But there is even a chance the dwarves are there.
It is long now since Balin, son of Fundin, ventured into the deep hall of his fathers, and we have heard nothing. But I will tread the path with you. I will go and look on the halls of Durin, whatever may wait there, if you can find the doors that are shut.
Good, Gimli. You encourage me. In the ruins of the dwarves, a dwarf's head will be less easy to bewilder than elves, or men's, or hobbits. Yet, it will not be the first time that I have been to Moria. I passed through, and I came out alive.
I too once passed through the Dimrill Gate. But though I also came out again, the memory is very evil. I do not wish to enter Moria a second time.
And I don't want to enter it even once.
Nor me.
Of course not, who would? But the question is, who will follow me? If I lead you there...
I will, if this last warning does not move you. It is not of the ring, nor of us others that I am thinking now, but of you, Gandalf. And I say to you, if you pass the doors of Moria, beware.
I will not go, unless the vote of the whole company is against me. What do Legolas and the Halfling say? The ring-bearer's voice surely should be heard.
I do not wish to go to Moria.
Master Frodo?
I do not wish to go, but neither do I wish to refuse the advice of Gandalf. I beg that there should be no vote until after we have slept. Gandalf will get votes easier in the light of the morning than in this cold gloom. Oh, how the wind howls.
How the wind howls. It is howling with wolf voices. The wargs have come west of the mountains.
Need we wait till morning, then? The hunt is up. Even if we live to see the dawn, who now will wish to journey south by night with wild wolves on his trail?
How far is Moria?
There was a door southwest of Caradhras, some 15 miles as the crow flies, and maybe 20 as the wolf runs.
Then let us start as soon as it is light, if we can.
I wish I had taken Elrond's advice, Sam. I really am no good at all. These howls freeze my blood. Oh, I don't ever remember feeling so wretched.
My heart's right down in my toes, Mr. Pippin, but we aren't Etten yet, and there's some stout folk here with us. Whatever may be in store for old Gandalf, I'll wager it isn't a warg's belly.
Come on! Let us move up to that ring of stone and light a fire there. Darkness and silence will be no protection against hunting packs.
Do you see, Sam? They have come. Shining eyes in the dark. Everywhere.
I don't like the way that great brute over there is looking at us. He must be their leader.
Put an arrow to your bow, Legolas.
Listen, Hound of Sauron! Gandalf is here! Fly, if you value your foul skin. I will shrivel you from tail to snout if you come within this ring.
Now, Legolas.
Well done, Legolas!
Right through his throat!
They're running away!
No hope of that! They're massing for an attack!
Fling fuel on the fire! Draw your swords! Swords and arrows will not prevail long. There are too many. Give me that branch out of the fire.
Lower and enter his armen! Lower down, eaten her off!
The trees are on fire! All the trees are on fire! The whole hill's ablaze! They're running away!
Yeah! What did I tell you, Mr. Pippin? Wolf won't get old Gandalf. That was an eye-opener, no mistake.
Nearly singed the hair on my head.
When the full light of the morning came, no signs of the wolves were to be found, and they looked in vain for the bodies of the dead.
It is as I feared. These were no ordinary wolves, hunting for food in the wilderness.
My arrows look as though they had never been used. And yet I killed four wargs.
We have not seen the last of them, I fear.
We must reach the doors of Moria before sunset. Or I fear we shall not reach them at all. Let us go.
I don't know which to hope. That Gandalf will find what he seeks. Or that when we come to the cliff we shall find the gates lost forever. All choices seem ill. And to be caught between wolves and the wall, the likeliest chance. Lead on!
The day was drawing to its end, and cold stars were glinting in the sky high above the sunset when the company reached the place they sought. Vast cliffs reared their stern faces in the fading light, and stretching almost to the foot of the cliffs, a gloomy lake, green and stagnant.
Well, here we are at last. While I'm searching for the doors, will you make ready to enter the mines and strap all you need on your backs? For here, I fear, we must say farewell to our good beast of burden.
Why, you can't leave poor old Bill behind in this forsaken place. Well, I won't have it. That's flat. After he's come so far now.
I'm sorry, Sam. But when the door opens, I do not think you will be able to drag your Bill inside. Into the long dark of Moria.
He'd follow me into a dragon's den if I led him. It'd be nothing short of murder to turn him loose with all these wolves about.
It will be short of murder, I hope. Go with words of guard and guiding on you. Make your ways to places where you can find grass, and so come in time to Elrond's house.
Well, here we are, and already. But where are the doors? I can't see any sign of them.
Dwarf doors are not made to be seen when shut. They are invisible. And their own masters cannot find or open them if their secret is forgotten.
Look. Can you see anything now?
Yes. Faint lines upon the face of the rock. Look. An anvil and a hammer. And above them a crown and seven stars and two trees, each bearing crescent moons.
The emblems of Durin.
The tree of the high elves.
And in the center, the star of Feanor.
What does the writing say?
The doors of Durin, Lord of Moria, speak, friend, and enter.
What does it mean, speak, friend, and enter?
That's plain enough. If you're a friend, speak the password and the doors will open.
And what is the password?
I do not know.
Then what was the use of bringing us to this
accursed... I do not know the word yet.
What are you going to do then?
Knock on the doors with your head, Peregrine Took. I will seek for the opening words.
You'd best seek swiftly. Those are the voices of wolves.
Be patient. Anon Ed Thelen. Edro hi amen. Fenas nogothrim. Lasto bethlamen.
Nothing.
What are we going to do?
Be patient, I said. Edro. Edro! Open! Open!
The doors won't move.
Don't let the pony run away. We shall need him still if the wolves don't find us. Why did you bring us here, Gandalf?
Huh?
To be trapped between the cliffs and this foul lake. Ah!
Boromir, why did you do that? I hate this place too, but... I am afraid of the pool.
Oh, how I wish we could get away. Why doesn't Gandalf do something quick?
I have it. Of course, absurdly simple, like most riddles when you see the answer. Melon!
How did you do that?
You gave me the clue yourself. I was wrong.
What did I say?
You asked the meaning of the words, speak, friend, and enter. The translation should have been, say, friend. And enter. I had only to speak the Elvish for friend and the doors opened. Quite simple. Too simple for a learned law master like me. Let us waste no more time. We must enter.
That pool. It's as if it were alive.
Thing has closed the doors on us.
Poor old Bill. With wolves and snakes. But the snaky things were too much for him. I had to choose, Mr. Frodo. I had to come with you.
What was the thing? Or were there many of them?
I do not know. But the arms were all guided by one purpose. Something has crept or has been driven out of dark waters under the mountain. There are older and fouler things than orcs in the deep places of the world.
In the deep places of the world. And thither are we going, against my wish.
Oh.
Who will lead us now in this deadly dark?
I will.
And I will walk by your side.
How long is it going to take?
I cannot say. It depends on many chances, but going straight without mishap or losing our way, we shall take 3 or 4 marches, I expect. It cannot be less than 40 miles from west door to east gate in a direct line, and the road may wind much. Come, follow my staff.
Gandalf held his staff aloft. and from its tip there came a faint radiance which just showed the ground before his feet. They started on their way. By the pale light they caught glimpses of stairs and arches and of passages and tunnels, sloping up or running steeply down, or opening blankly dark on either side.
I've lived much of my life in ways beneath the mountains, but I have never known anything like this. The mines of Moria are intricate beyond my imagination.
And the memories of my journey through those dark paths long ago are of little help now. Let us explore this way.
What's happening? Are we lost?
I don't like it.
Do not be afraid.
Oh, but I am.
I have been with Gandalf on many a journey, if never one so dark. There are tales of greater deeds of his than any I have seen. He will not go astray, if there is any path to be found.
I hope you're right.
Come, this is the way.
Be careful. This is where you tread. There are holes and pitfalls everywhere.
Take care. There is a crack running across our path.
How are we to get over it? It must be 7 foot wide.
Jump over it, Peregrine Took.
Oh. Listen to the water down below. It must be hundreds of feet, or I can't jump.
Come on, follow me.
Take my hand, Pippin. Oh. We'll jump together.
As these dangers became more frequent, their march became slower. A deep uneasiness, growing to dread, began to creep over Frodo.
Nothing but darkness and the sound of our feet. That's Gimli. Boromir. Legolas. But who's that? Bare feet? Pattering alone. But not hobbit feet. I must be imagining it. No! It's there!
We must halt a while. There are three passages ahead. Each of them seems to lead in the same general direction. I've no memory of this place at all, and I'm too weary to decide. I expect that you're as weary as I, or wearier. We will stay here. For what remains of the night.
Night! Here, day and night are one. It is ever dark.
But outside, the late moon is riding westward, and the middle night has passed. We must find somewhere to rest.
There's some sort of chamber over here.
Steady. You do not know what is inside yet. I will go first. And it is as well that I did so. Come here, all of you. Do you see that great hole in the middle of the floor?
This seems to have been a guard room made for the watching of the three passages. That hole was plainly a well for the guard's use.
Come, let us make ourselves as comfortable as we can.
Ooh. There's a chill air comes up from that well. Wonder how deep it is. Let's try dropping a stone down it. Nothing. Will it ever reach the bottom?
What was that?
Nothing at all. Just dropped a stone down the well.
Fool of a Took! This is a serious journey, not a hobbit walking party. Throw yourself in next time, and then you'll be no further nuisance. Now be quiet!
What's that?
Shh!
That was the sound of a hammer, or I've never heard one.
Yes, and I do not like it. It may have nothing to do with Peregrine's foolish stone, but probably something has been disturbed that would have been better left quiet. Pray do nothing of the kind again. Let us hope we shall get some rest.
without further trouble. You, Pippin, can go on the first watch as a reward.
Pippin sat miserably in the pitch dark, but after an hour Gandalf relieved him, and the last thing Pippin saw, as sleep took him, was the old wizard huddled on the floor smoking his pipe. 6 hours later, Gandalf roused them all from sleep.
I have made up my mind. I do not like the feel of the middle way, and I do not like the smell of the left-hand way. There's foul air down there, or I'm no guide. I shall take the right-hand passage. It's time we began to climb again.
For 8 dark hours they marched on, and met no danger. The passage wound steadily upwards until suddenly it vanished. They seemed to have passed through some arched doorway into a black and empty space.
I chose the right way. At last, we are coming to the habitable parts. And my guess is we are not far now from the eastern side, but we are high up, a good deal higher than the Dimrill Gate. From the feeling of the air, we must be in a wide hall. There used to be great windows on the mountainside, but it is night outside, and we cannot tell until morning. In the meantime, we'd better go no further. Things have gone well so far, and the greater part of the dark road is over. But we are not through yet, and it is a long way down to the gates that open onto the world. Let us rest, if we can.
There must have been a mighty crowd of dwarves here at one time, and every one of them busier than badgers for 500 years to make all this, and most in hard rock, too. What did they do it all for? Well, they didn't live in these darksome holes, surely.
These are not holes. This is the great realm and city of the Dwaradelf. And of old it was not darksome, but full of light and splendor, as is still remembered in our songs. The world was fair, the mountains tall in elder days before the fall of mighty kings in Nargothrond and Gondolin, who now beyond the western seas have passed away. The world was fair in Durin's day. A king he was on carven throne, in many pillared halls of stone, with golden roof and silver floor, and runes of power upon the door. The light of sun and star and moon, in shining lamps of crystal hewn, undimmed by cloud or shade of night, there shone forever, fair and bright. Unwearied then were Durin's folk. Beneath the mountains music woke, the harpers harped, the minstrels sang, and at the gates the trumpets rang. The world is grey, the mountains old, the forge's fire is ashen cold. No harp is rung, no hammer falls, the darkness dwells in Durin's hall. The shadow lies upon his tomb in Moria, in Khazad Dûm. But still the sunken stars appear in dark and windless Miramir. There lies his crown in water deep till Durin wakes again from sleep.
I like that. I should like to learn it. In Moria, in Khazad Dûm. But did none of your people ever return here?
Thor only dared past the doors, and he perished. And then, 30 years ago, Balin listened too long to the whispers of the mighty works and treasures of our fathers hidden in Khazad Dûm, and he resolved to come here. He took with him Ori and Owen and many of our folk. And for a while, we had news, and it seemed good. Then there was silence, and no word has ever come from Moria since.
But are there piles of jewels and gold lying about here still?
Piles of jewels? No. The orcs have often plundered Moria. There's nothing left in the upper halls.
But then what do the dwarves want to come back for?
For Mithril.
Here alone in the world was found Moria silver, or true silver, as some have called it. Its worth was 10 times that of gold. But even as Mithril was the foundation of their wealth, so also it was their destruction. They delved too greedily, too deep, and disturbed that from which they had fled. Durin's bane, a Balrog, the most powerful and terrible of the servants of Sauron.
But is there any Mithril to be found now?
Bilbo had a corslet of Mithril rings that Thorin gave him. I wonder what has become of it.
A corslet of Moria silver? That was a kingly gift.
Yes. I never told him, but its worth was greater than the value of the whole shire and everything in it. But we must sleep now, while we have the chance. Frodo,
yes?
Yours is the first watch.
Well, fancy me walking about with the price of the shire under my jacket. Oh. Did Bilbo know, I wonder? Oh, I wish we were back together at Bag End. And that I had never heard of Moria or Mithril or the ring. Something staring at me. Two pale, luminous eyes. Oh. No, there's nothing. I must have nearly fallen asleep on guard. Oh, I was on the edge of a dream.
When the company awoke, they found a dim light falling on their faces. High up above the eastern archway, through a shaft near the roof, came a long, pale gleam.
Good morning. Well, morning it is, at last. I was right, you see. We are high up on the east side of Moria. Before today is over, we ought to find the great gates and see the waters of Miramir lying in the Dimrill Dale before us.
I shall be glad. I have looked on Moria, and it is very great, but it has become dark and dreadful. And we have found no sign of my kindred. I doubt now that Balin ever came here.
We must go on again.
Which way shall we take? Yonder, eastward arch?
Maybe. But we ought to look about us. Let us go towards that light in the north door. There's another chamber here on the right. The stone door stands half open.
There's a slab of white stone.
It looks like a tomb. See, there are runes graven on it.
Yeah. These are Daren's runes, such as were used of old in Moria.
Balind, son of Fundin, lord of Moria.
He is dead, then. I feared it was so.
The shadow lies upon his tomb in Moria, in Khazad-dûm. Hmm.
There are bones strewn about in the dust. Broken swords and axes. This is an orc scimitar. There are some chests in the wall here, too. Hmm. But they've all been broken into. Oh, there's something still in this one, though. It looks like a book.
Bring it here to me.
Oh, it's got burned. Oh, and there's some old blood on it.
Careful, careful. The pages are cracked. They'll crumble. It seems to be a record of the fortunes of Balin's folk. I guess that it began with their coming here. Listen. We drove out orcs. From the great gate.
Orcs? There was always talk of orcs back in the Shire.
They are the oldest and bitterest of our foes. They were bred by Melkor, the evil one who Sauron served in envy and mockery of the elves. They're filled with malice, and hate even their own kind. And deep in their hearts, they loathe the master whom they serve in fear.
The book is written in many different scripts.
Here is a bold hand using an elvish script.
That would be Ori's hand.
I fear he had ill tidings to record. Look here. The 10th of November, Balin, Lord of Moria, fell in Dimrill Dale. And here, on the last page of all, they have taken the bridge and the second hall. We cannot get out. Drums, drums in the deep. I wonder what that means. The last thing written is in a trailing scrawl of letters. They are coming. There's nothing more. Listen. Drums in the deep.
They're coming. We cannot get out.
Trapped. Why did I delay? Here we are, caught just as they were before. But I was not here then.
Slam the doors and wedge them. We may get a chance to cut our way out yet.
No, we must not get shut in. Keep the east door ajar. We will go that way if we get a chance. They're coming. Wait a moment, Boromir. Do not close the door yet. Who comes hither to disturb the rest of Balin, Lord of Moria? Let us see what we have to face. Stand back! Close the door! There are orcs. Very many of them. Some are large and evil. Black Uruks of Mordor. There's no hope of escape that way.
And no hope at all if they come at the other door as well.
There is no sound outside the eastern door. The passage plunges straight down a stair, but it is no good flying blindly this way with the orcs in pursuit behind us. For we cannot block this door.
We must do something to delay the enemy first.
They're trying to force the door. It will never hold!
Araka!
No, no!
The
master! Get away, you dirty great brute!
Stand aside, then Undurial speak!
Oh, straight through his helmet!
Now is the last chance. Run for it.
Go on ahead. I will carry Frodo.
I'm all right. I can walk. Put me down.
I thought you were dead.
There is no time for wonder. Off you go, all of you, down the stairs. Wait a few minutes for me at the bottom. If I do not come soon, go on.
We cannot leave you to hold the door alone.
Do as I say. Swords are no more use here. Go.
I...
Do as he says.
Down we go.
You lean on me.
It's Gandalf's voice. Gandalf!
Well, that's over. I've done all that I could, but don't stand here. Go on. Yes. You'll have to do without light for a while. I'm rather shaken. Keep close, all of you.
All right.
At the end of an hour, they had gone a mile, or maybe a little more, and had descended many flights of stairs.
It's getting hot. We ought to be down at least to the level of the gates now. But I must rest here a moment. Even if all the orcs ever spawned are after us.
What happened away up there at the door? Did you meet the beater of drums?
I do not know. But I found myself suddenly confronted by something that I had not met before. I put a shutting spell on the door, but the counter spell was terrible. The door burst in pieces. Something dark as a cloud was blocking out all the light inside. I was thrown backwards down the stairs. All the hall gave way. And the roof of the chamber as well, I think.
So Balin is buried deep.
And maybe something else is buried there too. But at least the passage behind us was completely blocked. I've never felt so spent. And now, what about you, Frodo?
What about me? I'm alive and whole, I think. I'm bruised and in pain, but it's not too bad.
Well, I can only say that hobbits are made of a stuff so tough that I have never met the like of it. That spear thrust would have skewered a wild boar.
You take after Bilbo. It's more about you than meets the eye, as I said of him long ago. Come, I am rested. Let us go on.
Wait! There is a light ahead, but it is not daylight. It is red.
There is some devilry here devised for our welcome, no doubt. Come and look. You see the great hall that lies beyond? Across it runs a great fissure of fire. If we had come by the main road down from the upper halls, we should have been trapped here. But now let us hope the fire lies between us and our pursuers. The gates are near. We go down here, to the left, across the bridge of Khazad-dûm, up a broad stair, along a wide road, and out.
The orcs are coming! But they can't get across the fire!
They didn't expect this! The fire has cut them off!
Look ahead! Slow down! The bridge is near. It is dangerous and narrow.
It was the ancient defense against our enemies. They could only pass across it in single file. The chasm is of a depth immeasurable.
Lead the way, Gimli. Pippin and Merry next.
Yes.
Straight on and up the stair.
They're massing beyond the fire. Two great trolls are coming with slabs of stone to bridge the chasm. They're crowding away. Something is coming that they fear. Aye! A Balrog! A Balrog is coming!
The scourge of our people, Durin's bane!
Now I understand. What an evil fortune. And I am already weary. Over the bridge! This is a foe beyond any of you. I must hold the narrow way. Fly!
I will not yield!
Nor I!
You cannot pass! I am a servant of the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Aenor. You cannot pass. The dark fire will not avail you, flame of Udon. Go back to the shadow. You cannot pass. You cannot pass, I say. Back to your darkness. Back from this bridge, or I shall plunge you into the abyss. Then fall. Horn of Melkor! Fall! Fly, you fools!
In Episode 4 of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, adapted by Michael Bakewell, the part of Frodo was played by Ian Holm, Gandalf by Michael Horden, Aragorn by Robert Stevens, and Bilbo by John LeMessurier. Sam, William Nye, Merry, Richard O'Callaghan, Pippin, John McAndrew, Legolas, David Collings, Gimli, Douglas Livingstone, Boromir, Michael Graham Cox, Elrond, Hugh Dixon. The narrator was Gerard Murphy. The music was composed and conducted by Stephen Oliver. The director was Penny Lester.